really does not need an introduction to this crowd, but I'm just going to say very simply, as segue into tonight's theme, Michal is somebody that brings a lot of us just light into our week, you know, in the darkness of our everyday mundane lives. I mean, Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of good, but the light of Torah that she brings me personally in my week, and I know a lot of us here, it's a tremendous schus, privilege and pleasure to have Michal give us some chizuk tonight. Michal's going to say a parak of Tehillim for Eretz Yisrael, because that's really the impetus for tonight. But I also just want to have in mind for Refuah Shleimah, Chaim Tovia ben Rachaleya.
Hi, ladies. Let's just say a parak of Tehillim together. We'll say one we all know, since we don't have Tehillim in front of us. The one we say before benching, which we associate with benching, but really speaks about when HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeems us in the end of days, then we will be like dreamers. Our mouths will be filled with laughter.
Speak louder.
Louder. Okay. We're going to say a kapitel of Tehillim. The kapitel of Tehillim we say before we bench, before Birkas HaMazon, which speaks about the long-awaited end of days. We know it from benching, and then we will start our learning. We'll just say it together, please. Shir Hamalos Vishuv Adonai Eshivas Sion Hayinu Kacholmim Az Yimales Cholpinu Ushalneinu Rina Az Yamu Bagayim Higdil Adonai Lasos Imela Higdil Adonai Lasos Imanu Hayinu Semechim Shuva Adonai Eshivisenu Kaafinkim Banegev Hazorim Bedima Berini Yaktaru Halach Yelech Uvacho Nose Mesha Hazara Oyavu Verina Nose Avu Masav. After the horrific events of 2 weeks ago, I emailed Zahava if she wanted to collaborate on a shiur coming up to Chanukah. Some Divrei Chizuk and Divrei Hisorus were in order. Neiros Chanukah, light from within the darkness. Chanukah 5775. V'chol Shmonas Yemei Chanukah, and all these 8 days of Chanukah, Haneiros Halalu Kodeshim. These candles are holy. V'ein lanu v'shus l'hishtamish b'hem. You don't have permission to read by them, or to needlepoint by them, or to eat supper by them. Elo l'r osam bilvad. You're only allowed to see them to testify to the miracle that occurred here. L'r osam bilvad. Today, the Hodos of the Halal, to give praise and thanksgiving, the Shimcha Gadol, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great name, Al Nisacha, for his miracles, and if Lo Secha, for his wonders, Al Yeshua Secha, and his, for his salvation. So I was thinking, what approach should I take when preparing the Shir? So I came up with something I think is very nice, and I hope you'll agree. Chanukah. Each letter represents something. In Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes, how's my volume?
Better.
Better? I get louder as I... In Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes, David HaMelech takes every letter of the Aleph Beis, and he brings us different psukim that start with that letter. I'm going to go through with you today the word Chanukah, the letters, the Hebrew Lashon HaKodesh, and look at one pasuk that represents a different aspect or an element of Chanukah. So we're going to start at the beginning. Ches. What does David HaMelech say about the letter Ches? Chevlei Rishaim Ividuni, the bands of the wicked, the bands of the wicked, plundered me. Toras Chalo Shachachti. You should know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though bands of wicked bands of the wicked people plundered me, I did not forget your Torah. What was Chanukah? The wicked ways surrounded me. The Hellenist ways threatened me. Who were the Hellenists? Who were the Hellenists? They were the Jews who converted to the other side, Rahman al-Islam, but nevertheless, Klai Yisrael did not forget or abandon Torah. And all these 8 days, the flickering lights, they symbolize the devotion of a Jew to his Father in heaven. They are holy, they surround us. Torah Scholo Shachachti, no matter what, I didn't forget your Torah. Rav Kook teaches, inside every single Jew, there resides an aspect of kahuna. Kadosh Baruch Hu told us by the time of Zman Matan Torah Seinu, that we are what? What did he say? We form a kingdom of priests. Mamlachas Kohanim. Each person has an aspect of Kahuna in him, the Goy Kadosh, and a holy nation hidden in the depths of every Jewish heart. Rav Soloveitchik says you have no right to give up on another Jew. No matter how far removed a person is, Chevlei Rishayim Yividuni, bands of the wicked surrounded me. Taraz Chalo Shachachti. Rav Soloveitchik says you don't give up on another Jew. The small flask of oil that was not destroyed, that was not contaminated, that was not plundered by the Greeks, represents that spark within every Jew that does not go out. That's not contaminated. At that hour, says Rav Kook, it was a time of upheaval and confusion for the people. The Hellenist lifestyle spread throughout the land. One thing remained, the inner faith inside the Jewish heart. That is intact. That is the metaphor for the cruse of oil that was sealed with the mark of Kahuna. Why was it sealed? Because we are all, Mamlachas Kohanim. We all together form that holy nation. In a time of national spiritual crisis, in a time when the Jewish flame seems to be flickering out, Chalila, one thing remains. It's the inner light of Emunah. Rav Asher Sosonkin, Zatzal, was exiled to Siberia for the crime of teaching Torah in Mother Russia. Even under the harsh conditions of the Siberian exile and the work camp, he strove as much as possible to keep as much of the Torah, as many mitzvot as he could. With him was another Jew. The other Jew's name was Nachman Rosman. Nachman Rosman was actually an ardent communist. He had risen high up in the ranks of the Russian army. He was accused of illegal business dealings, and he was also exiled to Siberia to 25 years of harsh labor. Nachman Rosman became friends with this Rav Asher Sosonkin. They became friends, and it was in the Siberian camps that Nachman Rosman decided he wanted to learn more about Torah and Yiddishkeit. Hanukkah was approaching. And Rav Asher instructed his newfound friend, perhaps there is someone who can fashion for us a menorah. So there was a tinsmith in the labor camps, and they paid him a small amount, several rubles, to fashion a menorah, and he made a beautiful menorah. Punishment, if they were found, would be quick and harsh. On the first night of Hanukkah, they lit their beautiful menorah with tears in their eyes and gratitude in their heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said the brachos. The other prisoners watched curiously. These two men were committing great treason against Mother Russia. Rav Asher recited the brachos. The men continued to light the menorah for four nights without incident. On the fifth night, just after Rav Asher and Rav Nachman lit the menorah, an armed guard appeared at the entrance to the barrack, announcing roll call. So much of our Yahadus, ladies, we take for granted. Every store and every kiosk and everywhere you go, you can get candles and wicks. We take so much for granted. The prisoners were stunned. There was never roll call at this late hour of the day. What happened? Rav Asher and Nachman were sure that a fellow prisoner had told on them to the authorities. When the Russian officer entered the barracks, everyone stood still. You had to stand at the end of your bed for roll call. They anticipated the worst. You went from bed to bed, checking off that each person exiled to forced labor was present. He came to the bed where Rav Asher stood, and on the little, behind the bed, on the ledge, was burning his little menorah with five lights that night. He looked at the menorah for a long time, and then he looked at Rav Asher. Five? Said the guard to Rav Asher. Silence. Rav Asher was too afraid, too stunned. This isn't what he was expecting to answer. Five? The officer repeated with more urgency. Five, stammered Asher. Yes, five candles tonight. In a confused reply, the officer nodded his head. Without another word, he left the barracks. The other prisoners were shocked. They were all wondering the same thing. Who is the armed guard? What did he care how many lights were tonight? The candles, five. Who was he? Rav Asher understood, and for his duration of his stay in communist Russian Siberia, he was careful to keep the Russian officer secret, well kept, hidden in the depths of every Jewish heart of salvation, because you have no right to give up on another Jew. There's an inner drive, an inner flame. There's a desire for a life of Torah and holiness and wisdom. And that small cruse of oil sealed with the stamp of the Kohen Gadol that represents each and every one of us. Atem tiuli mamlechas kohanim. You will be a kingdom of priests for Goy Kadosh. That can't be contaminated. And it can't be extinguished. Not by communist Russia. And not by any other enemy throughout the generations who have risen up to destroy us. And not by the Greeks, and not by the Hellenists. Over 2,000 years ago, we found ourselves in Galus Yavan. It's very important to point out that where were we during Galus Yavan? During Galus Babel, we were in Babylon. During Galus Paros and Madai, we were in Persia. During Galus Romi and Edom, here we are, Rachman al-Atzlan, 1900 plus years later. Where were we during Galus Yavan? In Eretz Yisrael. You could be in Eretz Yisrael, and you could be in Galus. And the people were living in the Holy Land, and the Hellenist lifestyle spread throughout the land. It was the antithesis of Torah, the flames of passion. Spread through the land. What happened? It was the time of second base of Mikdash. Chanukah is the time of second base of Mikdash. And in 167 before the Common Era, so minus 2014 years, and add to that 167, and that's when Chanukah occurred. Antiochus ordered an altar to Zeus to be put up, Rachman Aslan, in the base of Mikdash. He banned Bris Milah. He ordered pigs to be sacrificed in the base of Mikdash. There was a large scale revolt. Matisyahu, a Jewish Kohen, led the revolt along with his five sons, Yochanan, Shimon, Elazar, Yonatan, and Yehuda. They led the revolt. Yehuda HaMaccabee took the place as the leader. In 165 BCE, so minus 2014 years, and they go back another 165 years, the revolt was successful, and the Maccabees ruled. Chazal teach in Masechah Shabbos 21b, when the Greeks entered the temple, they defiled all the oils. I was going to say in the shir, can we imagine? But then I thought, no, we can't imagine what the state of the base of Mikdash must have looked like when the Greeks were finished with it. With their pigs, with their altar to their Avodah Zarah, to Zeus. The mayhem, the chaos, the defilement, the tumah that entered. The Gemara says, the Chashmonaim searched. They found but one cruse of oil that was sealed with the stamp of the high priest. We all know it was enough for one day. It lasted for 8 days. The following year, they established these days as a holiday for praise and thanksgiving. Rav Kook says, what happened here? The Greek Empire brought about the spread of Greek culture and the spread of their philosophy. The superficial claim of Hellenism captured the hearts of many Jews. I have to ask you a question. Are we talking about 167 BCE? Are we talking about 2014 Common Era, ladies? Are you listening to what we're reading, to what we're learning, not reading? The victorious Greek Empire, put in a different word for Greek, brought the spread of Greek culture and philosophy. The superficial claims captured the hearts of many Jews. These new ideas undermined fundamental teachings of Torah and mitzvahs. I ask you, for 165 BCE or 2014 CE, which one? The danger was so great, it seemed as if there would be permanent damage to the spiritual state of the Jewish people. And then they found one flask of oil, a kernel of pure faith that resides, says Rav Kook, in the depths of the Jewish soul. Why did they establish Chanukah as a Yom Tov to go on forever? Why? Why not just a one-time thing? Why is a Yom Tov as a permanent holiday? Because Rav Kook explains, the sages understood the battle against Hellenism, the battle against Greek, the battle against the foreign culture, the battle against the Tumah of the Umas HaOlam. It's not a one-time struggle. It's not only for the Maccabees. This is a struggle that faces generation after generation. The desire of the Umas HaOlam to corrupt our faith and our beliefs. And therefore, Chazal say, Lahodo Sulahala, that's not one time, it's 2014 plus 165 years later. I could probably just forget what 2014 plus 165 is. We're still celebrating. You know what it is? Math is not my forte.
2,179.
It's very easy. 2,165 is 2,165 and 14.
Right,
179. 2,175. 2,179? You could tell which subjects I excelled in school. Not math. Rav Yashar Ber Salvechik related. Yashar Ber Salvechik told the following. He says, recently on Erev Sukkot, I received a phone call from a student. The student was serving as an army chaplain at a naval base. He told me that he and the entire crew of the ship would have to stand for inspection on the second day of Sukkot. Of course, he was concerned. Why is the chaplain concerned? He would be unshaven during inspection. It was the second day of Yom Tov because of holiday prohibitions. They don't let you do that in the army. So Rav Salvechik said, quote, I was sorely tempted to allow him to shave on the second day, when the day is a rabbinic prohibition. Perhaps these were extenuating factors that would justify in halachic grounds his shaving on the second day of Yom Tov. Perhaps a non-Jew could have shaven him so that he could appear clean for inspection. However, when I thought about Avram's covenant with the Almighty, I realized this question could not be approached on a purely halachic basis. God said to Avram, V'hakimosi es brisi beinu veinecha. I mean, I have a covenant between who and me and you. Does it stop there? Ubein zaracha, acharacha, and your children after you. L'dorosam, for generations. L'bris olam, an eternal covenant. L'yos l'chal elokim, to be for you a God and for your children after you. Says Rav Salvechik, when I thought about this covenant, I realized a Jew, quote, has to be ready to sacrifice for Yahadus. We have to be ready to sacrifice for our religion. A chaplain, a rabbinic graduate of a yeshiva, has to suffer for spiritual commitment. That's chas, the bands of the wicked surrounded me. I didn't forget Torah. All right, next letter. Nun. What does David HaMelech say about Nun? Ner. That's not what he says. Ner l'ragli dvaracha v'ar l'nesivasi. Ner l'ragli dvaracha. What is a lamp for my feet, Hashem? Your word, dvaracha. Only the word of Hashem is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. In the oppressive darkness, it's hard times. We're in hard times. My father said to me in the summer during Tzok Eitan when we were afraid to turn on the news, how many today, how many the next day, Hadar Golden one day, the next day, the next day. My father said to me, Michal, don't depress people. We're a hopeful people, he said. Your word, Hashem, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. The darkness is so oppressive, but there's a lamp. There's a light. And it's Hashem's word. Yafa Eliach in her Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust tells over the following story. During the terrible year, does anyone have questions? During the terrible years of World War II, there within the shadows of the Valley of Death in the Bergen-Belsen freezing cold winter air of Kislev, a small group of prisoners gathered around the bush of a Rebbe. They were going to light menorah. What was the menorah? A shoe clog is a menorah. They managed to smuggle some black camp shoe wax as the oil. They stood around bravely around the Rebbe. They assembled to see him light the menorah. There was a lookout, of course. He shuffled nervously as the Rebbe took the small fire in hand. He began to recite the brachos. Blessed are you, Hashem, who has commanded us to light the Chanukah menorah. And the men said to me, blessed are you, Hashem, who has done miracles for our forefathers, Bayami Mahim Basman Azeh, in those days and this time. And then he paused. What's the next bracha you make on the first night? Thank you, God, for keeping me alive and sustaining me and allowing me to reach this day and time. And he stopped. And he looked around the piles of corpses of Jews that surrounded him. And he thought he couldn't make the bracha. But then he looked at those Yidden assembled there in the depth of hell to see him light the menorah. And he recited the bracha. Thank you, God, for allowing me, sustaining me, Shechayani, you've kept me alive and brought me to this day and time. After the menorah was lit, the shuklag, one of the leaders of the Warsaw Bund, approached the bludger of a rebbe, of Yisrael Spira, and he said to him, Spira, said the man scornfully, I understand you went to great lengths to light the menorah, even here in Bergen-Belsen. I understand you wanted to make the first bracha and even the second bracha, but tell me how, with death staring us in the face at every moment, you could recite the third bracha with conviction, Shachiyanu v'kimanu v'gyanu, this man said, you've been alive and sustained to reach this very day and time. The truth is, said the rabbi, you're right. When I reached the third blessing, I hesitated. I asked myself the same question you're asking me. But then I looked around, and I saw that despite the death, destruction, the havoc wrecked on every fiber of our being, there is actually a group of Jews waiting to perform the mitzvah. It is for this, for the spark within every single one of us, for the light that never goes out, even in the oppressive darkness, for the small cruse of oil that is uncontaminated always. For this, said the rabbi, I made the Shachianu. Ner l'ragli d'varacha v'ar l'nesivasi. Your word, Hashem, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Come what may, we thank God for sustaining us and bringing us to reach this very day and time. Chanukah, Vav, are about halfway through. V'adabra be'edosecha negen melachim v'lo evosh. I will speak of your laws, Hashem, to kings. I will not be ashamed. What does that mean? I won't be ashamed between mortal, finite, limited kings who are here today and gone tomorrow to speak of the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says in Maseches Gittin 57b, the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. Ki alecha haragnu kol hayam. David HaMelech says, God, for your sake we have been killed every day. We are considered as sheep for the slaughter. Says Rav Yehuda, who knows, what does Rav Yehuda say? What does the Gemara say? This pasuk refers to who? Chana and her seven sons. They brought her first son before the mighty Caesar. And Caesar said to him, worship the idol. And the boy said to her, Caesar, is it not written in the Torah? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. What did they do with the son? They took him away and they killed him. They brought the second son before the mighty Caesar. And what did the Caesar say? Worship the idol. And the son said, doesn't it say in the Torah, Lo yelecha Elohim acherim al panai, shall not have gods of others before me. So what did they do with the second son? They took him away and they killed him. They brought the next four sons. To each son they said, worship the idol. The third son said, is it not written into the Torah, one who sacrifices to a foreign god shall be destroyed? Is it not written in the Torah, I may not bow down to another god? Is it not written in the Torah, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? Is it not written in the Torah, all these things you shall know today and take to your heart? Hashem is one. How many children were left? One. There was one left. Maseches Gittin 57b. They brought him to the mighty Caesar. Caesar said, worship the idol. The boy said, we have sworn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we will replace him and he will never replace us. The mighty Caesar had pity. He said, I will throw down my signet ring. Just bend down and pick it up so that people will say, you bow down to the mighty Caesar. Replied the boy, does anyone know what the boy said? Chaval alach Caesar. Chaval alach Caesar. Woe unto you, Caesar. Woe unto you. If such is the concern for your own honor, how much more is the concern for the honor of Hashem? They took him away to kill him. It was her last son. As they took him away, says the Gemara, the mother said, give him to me. Let me kiss him a little bit. It's the Gemara. Then she told her seven sons, six of whom were already in the Olam HaEmes. She said, you go tell Avram, your father, Ata akadata mizbeach echad. You, Abraham, you brought one sacrifice, the ani, As for me, ani akadati shiva mizbechos. You know how many korbanos I brought? Kachnas, binchas, yichidchas, yerahavtas, yitzchak, aleusham, la'ola. You know how many olos I brought? 7. Ani akadati shiva mizbechos. It's a story of the Jew from time immemorial. I brought 7. She went up to the roof. She fell down, says the Gemara, and she died. Go look it up. A basko came forth and proclaimed, Eim habanim smecha, the mother of the sons, rejoices in her sons who gave their lives, al kiddush Hashem. David Melech says, Gam ki eilech begeitz al maves. You wonder if we're talking about the olden days or today. What are we talking about? Talking about the time of Abraham? Kachna spincha? We're talking about Chana and her 7 sons? Talking about Nazi Germany in a shoe club? Am I talking about communist Russia? Am I talking about Har Nof and Yerushalayim, Mir HaKodesh? You tell me what time period I'm talking about. Kach nos bincha gam ki eilech begeitz amaves lo irara, and I am in the valley of death. I saw an interview with Rabbi Tzipora Heller's son-in-law. He said, he just said, Sim Shalom. Hashem bless us with peace. And he heard gunshots. And he turned around and they were swinging their axes. Gam ki eilech begeitz al maves lo irara. I won't fear ki ato imadi. And nevertheless, the Jew goes back next morning at 7 a.m. And he davens in the same place. Vayashkim Avram baboker. Adam's Avram. He davened for Sodom. You know, God, you really shouldn't destroy these people. Right? So what happened the next morning? What happened to Sodom? It was overturned. It was smoking like a furnace. What did Avram do? Vayashkim Avram baboker. He stood up and he went to the place where he davened yesterday. Yar ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. Ner l'ragli dvaracha v'ar l'nisivasi. That's the nun. Am I up to nun? Am I up to vav? I don't know what I'm up to. I'm up to vav. It's okay. Ner l'ragli dvaracha still applies. Ba'adabra be'edosach negen melachim. I will tell the mighty Kesar. Chaval alach Kesar. You're wrong. I'm right. V'lo evosh. I will not be ashamed to speak of Hashem, the eternal King, before the fleeting, finite, here today in the grave tomorrow, King. Is it not written in the Torah, said the child, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? And they took him out to kill him. You're right, it was up to Vav. All right, Chanukah. Next letter, Chav. David HaMelech says, all the psukim are from Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes, ladies. Kama Yimei Avdecha. How long are we here for? Kama Yimei Avdecha. How many are your servant's days? What's man? In the grand scheme of things, the world has been here for 5,775 years. What's man? Get a few days here. Kama Yimei Avdecha. Is it so worth it, Hashem? How many days? Masai Tase Berodfai Mishpat. David Melech says, God, when will you execute judgment against those that pursue me? Chanukah recalls the Hashmonai war against the Greeks. Unlike so many of our enemies, unlike Paro, unlike Esav, let's keep going, unlike Amalek, unlike the Nazis, unlike the Xeros Tach V'tar, unlike, what else, help me. Unlike today, Yimach Shemam and Eretz Yisrael, Chanukah was different. The Greeks didn't care to let us live. They weren't interested in our physical sacrifice. What did they want? We should adopt their culture. We should adopt their language. We should adopt their music, their movies, their beliefs. It's good for you. Switch pagan wisdom and knowledge for Torah wisdom and knowledge. Their aim was to liberate us from our primitive beliefs. There are many Jews, those were the Hellenists, who embraced Greek culture, lifestyle, and ideals. They believed man could do whatever he wanted, a body without restraint, time without kedusha, a world without a god. The cardinal principles of our faith is what the Greeks sought to uproot. They wanted us to abandon, heaven forbid, the Torah as if it did not exist. It was a spiritual war. The Chashmonaim saw that the roots of defilement were taking root amongst Klal Yisrael, and they declared a Melchames Mitzvah, a holy war. Micha, what does Maccabee stand for? I started to say, Micha Mocha Be'elim Hashem, who is like you amongst God's Hashem? A Melchames Mitzvah against Greek beauty. You know what pasuk came to mind? What does Shlomo HaMelech tell us? Mishlei chapter 31. What's Mishlei chapter 31? Ishos Chaya. Sheker hachein, the hevel hayofi. Sheker hachein, it's worthless. Beauty is worthless. Grace is deceitful. Beauty is vain if it's not grounded in Torah. And the Maccabee, Micha Mocha Ba'elim Hashem, waged the war. The pure against the impure, the righteous against the wicked, the weak against the strong, those who keep Torah against wanton sinners. When, cries David HaMelech, will you execute judgment against those that seek to destroy us physically and spiritually? Rav Yisrael Krena lived, Rav Yisrael Gordon, known as Rav Yisrael Krena, lived in the 1800s. He used to relate the following story about his grandfather, the famous scholar and court physician of the 17th century, Rabbi Dr. Aaron Gordon. One time, Rav Gordon was sailing the seas. He finished some business in Italy. He was on his way to Poland. A big storm came up, and the ship landed in Spain, Spanish port. If a practicing Jew was found in Spain, punishment would be severe. The Inquisition, he would pay with his life. It was shortly before Pesach, and Rav Gordon had nowhere to eat. So he wanted to find some who could he count on? He wanted to try and find some conversos. He knew there were practicing Jews. There were many of them in Spain. He wanted to find them. Outwardly, they were Christian. Inwardly, they were true to Torah. Conversos are Muranos. Mm-hmm. Okay? Muranos is not a nice word. It's actually a derogatory term. I believe
pigs.
It means pig in Spanish. Conversos is a more appropriate term. Finding the conversos, however, was the problem. It was the day before Pesach, and he had not yet found even one hidden secret Jew. So he had an idea. Rav Aaron went to the market, and he observed the shoppers in the market. He saw one man. He looked like an aristocrat, a nobleman, alight from a carriage, a handsome carriage, splendid horse. The man went through purchases in the market. Rav Gordon followed him, and he bought all the vegetables necessary for a seder. When the man's carriage left the market, Rav Gordon followed. He gets to the door. He's let in by the servant. He asks to speak to the master of the home in private. When they are in private and they're sure no one's there, he says to the man one word, shalom. The man recoiled in horror. He immediately denied that he knew what the man was, what Rav Gordon was talking about, and he said to him, I'm putting my life, said Rav Gordon to the nobleman, in your hands. You can put your life in my hands. I'm a Jew. I need somewhere to spend the Yom Tov of Pesach. I saw you buying the vegetables in the market. The nobleman denied and denied, and finally he gave in. He was a Jew. In the evening, he took Rav Aaron down to an underground secret cavern. And Rav Aaron Gordon was astounded to see a beautiful, well-lit room. A table was set in elegance. It's ready for the Seder. The only people in the home who knew about this underground room were the nobleman, his wife, and the eldest child. They were afraid to even tell their other children, never mind the servants, for sure not. They were afraid to even tell the other children about who they really were. Rav Aaron stayed in this home of these Jews for 1 month. During the month, one of the children in the home died. The nobleman lost one of his children. A priest was summoned to administer the last rites. He arrived with his crosses and his icons and whatever other things. My sons call them gotchkalach from yeshiva to recite the Catholic ritual. It sends the deceased off to the next world. Of course, the child's parents were present. It's a very important ceremony. Rav Aaron Gordon, the visitor to the home, was also present. Watching the priest, Rachman al-Litzlan, administer the last rites on this child, he grew enraged. He forgot where he was. He picked up a knife. Yes. He jumped up. He screamed, Shema Yisrael, and he was ready to kill the priest. the priest shrank back in terror. And he exclaimed, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Rav Aaron, the father, the mother, and the priest stood shocked into silence. They gazed at one another. The priest, too, was a converso, a convert to Christianity who remained a Jew. Kama, you may have dacha, how long am I even here in this world for? Says David HaMelech, he had 70 years. A mere 70 years out of 5,775. Masai ta'ase berod fai mishpa. When will you execute judgment, ladies, against those that pursue us? Isn't it time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says David HaMelech, isn't it time? Chanukah, hey. Havineni v'etzra sarasecha v'rashmerna b'chalev. Havineni, give me bina, give me understanding. V'etzra sarasecha, I will guard your Torah. I will keep it with all my heart. Grant me understanding. Isn't that what we all ask for every day? Maybe you don't say that pasuk every day. Do you not ask for understanding every day, ladies, in this dark, finite, difficult world? I wrote the world of chaos and confusion. That means we're in a world of tohu vavohu, emptiness and nothingness. Grant me understanding, come what may, to keep the Torah, says David HaMelech, with my whole heart. To guard the Torah with our whole heart, despite our four galios, our four exiles. To guard it with my whole heart as I sat by the rivers of Babylon, weeping over our bitter exile, over our fate, weeping for the destruction of the temple. Eich nashir ashir Hashem ha'ad masnecha. How can it be, Eicha? I could sing to God on foreign cursed soil. To guard your Torah, Hashem, even as we were slated for destruction during Galus Paros Umadai. If they could today, they would kill us in one day, all of us, from young to old, from men to women, from grandparents to infants. Yom Echad, Galus Paros Umadai. Grant me understanding to find Hashem. The Gemara says, you know what the time of Esther was? Hester Panim. Get it? Esther? Hester? It's not me. That's what the Gemara says. Hashem was hidden. Grant me understanding then to keep the Torah with my whole heart. Grant me understanding, Kodesh Baruch Hu, that during the Galus, the Greek Galus, Galus Yavan, when the culture swept through the Holy Land, embraced by many a Hellenist as the enlightened faith. Are we in the 1800s in Germany in the time that Rav Shamshon Falhirsch wrote his commentary? As the enlightened faith spread through the land. Or are we how many years? 2,179 years ago. To guard the Torah with my entire heart. Havineni v'atzara sarasachav rashmana b'chalev. Even as we have been banished from our land during this seemingly endless Galus Edom, devoid of our sanctuary, persecuted, hounded to the ends of the earth these 1900 plus years. To keep my Torah, that is the koach of a Jew. That's the flask that was uncontaminated. That's the oil that burned for 8 days. Why eight? Eight is lamala min hateva. Seven is teva. Seven is nature. Eight is above nature. The koach of a Jew, the amuna of a Jew, the uncontaminated flask represents that we are above teva. Lamala min hateva. To guard it, the Torah. To keep the Chanukah menorah lit in a shoe clog in the freezing cold Kislev of Bergen-Belsen. To fashion a tinsmith menorah in Siberian exile. To celebrate Pesach in an underground cavern, b'chol dar v'dar amdi maleinu l'chaloseinu. But we celebrate nevertheless. To speak of the King of Kings before mortal, finite kings. For I am not afraid. To don my talis, my tefillin, and go back to the same shul the next morning. Grant me understanding to keep your Torah, Hashem, even when I can't understand. Ah, ladies, is Chanukah. Ches chavle rishayim ividuni toras chalosh achachti. Bands of wicked, bands of wicked surrounded and plundered me. I don't forget the Torah, Ner L'Ragli Dvarach V'Or L'Nesivasi. There's one thing that's a light for my feet and a lamp for my path, and it's Torah. I won't be ashamed. Chaval alach kesar. Woe unto you. Not woe to we, me, not woe to my mother, not woe to my nation. Woe to you. Kamei me'avdacha. How long are we here for anyway, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Matai tase baradfai mishpat. Already bring the punishment against those who what surround us and persecute us physically and spiritually. And finally, hey, Havineni, give me Bina. Bina yaseira nasna li'isha. We all have an extra measure of intuition. Give it to me so I can keep your Torah with my entire heart. This is really the ultimate desire of each and every Jew. And this is the message of the 8 holy days of Hanukkah and the single uncontaminated flask of pure oil. Those flames banish our oppressive darkness with the warm, bright glow of candlelight. May the light of the menorah herald the long-awaited end of days, when the light of the golden menorah will shine from Har HaMoria, and this time it will never be extinguished. V'haya ba'achrus hayamim, says Yeshaya. You should know in the end of days, nachon yihi abeis Hashem b'rosh haharim. Do you know that the house of God will be at the top of all mountains? Na rachman al-etzlan, that golden dome that's there now. Go stand on top of Esh HaTorah in Yerushalayim. See the foxes that still walk atop Har HaMoria. At the end of days, says Yeshaya, the house of Hashem will be at the top of the mountains. V'nisa migvaos. It will be established and exalted above the hills. V'naru elav kol ha'goyim. In the end of days, all the nations will stream to. V'naru, like a river, they will come. You have a question?
No, I was going to say Hashem Yirah. Hashem Yirah. Like Hashem will be seen.
Okay.
When we see the
appearance. Okay, very nice. In the end of days, finally the truth will be revealed to all. V'holchu amim rabim. Many nations will go over Amru, and people will say, "Luchu v'na'ala al Har Hashem." Let's go up to the house of God. Al beis Eloka Yaakov. Let's go up to the base of Mikdash. V'yareinu midrachav. He will teach us from his ways. V'nelcha be'archosav. We will go in his path. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. Because from Zion, Torah will come out. With Var Hashem, Yerushalayim, and the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we will understand it, we will see it, our eyes will be open, the whole world will accept it. Var Hashem, Yerushalayim, may it be speedily and in our days. Amen v'amen. I wish you all, and all of Klal Yisrael, v'chol makom shehem, alich tegach Hanukkah sameach. Amen v'amen.